Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Radio.
Purify our hearts, Lord. Purify our hearts, Lord. Sanctify my heart, Lord. Sanctify my heart, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Welcome to Gatekeepers Global Podcast. I'm excited this evening, the special guest that I have bringing forth the Word of God on this topic that the Holy Spirit gave to me. There's not one topic that has come forth and expounded on this podcast over the almost 10 years that I've been on the air that has come to me without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks the topic, and God really rewards us and gives us a word. Hallelujah. I could have 5 guests on here on one broadcast, and they'll all speak on the same topic and say something scripturally and say it different from the other one. So that's just how the Holy Spirit works. Well, I'm Seer Evangelist Linda Cazares, and I'm honored to have you listen or stream in with us tonight. I'm grateful to God that He has brought us to this place, to this time. Wherever we are, we're all situated in different cities and states, bringing forth the Word of God. What an honor, what a humbling it is to study the Word and have the Word prepared to minister to other people, people that are listening in and streaming in from all different cities and states. I just thank you. I thank my guest tonight, Minister Shay Johnson, Bishop John Bronson, Bishop Sylvester Wright, and Prophetess Iris Nazreen. Powerful, holy, clean men and women of God. I just thank you. I just want to give a shout out. I'm not going to name the nations, to the nations around the world, almost 70 nations that tune in mostly on demand from time to time. What a blessing. Sometimes I scroll through 12 pages of the broadcast from when I started my own podcast, and I'm amazed at 40 people that have called in and on demand, that have gone streamed in rather on demand and listened to specific topics. The topic that I'm having on July 6th, about TIs, which means targeted individuals, is something that is happening in the world, around the world. I've had 7 broadcasts on them over the last 3.5-4 years, and I'm having my 8th one on July the 6th. God placed it in my spirit to do it, and I think everybody that knows me and everybody that I know need to know that this is real, what's going on. And God wants the church to know that it's going on. There's people in the church that have submitted to this type of thing and are is doing it to other people, which is an example of the last days. The last days. Why would you deliberately and intentionally do anything to hurt, or you know that it's hurting your brother or your sister in Christ, and you still continue to do it? That I will never understand. But one thing I did come to understand is that when you walk in the fear of the Lord, that's not something that you'll do. So I just thank God for that too, and I'll remind everybody about it on right before the 4th and right after the 4th, because I already got powerful men and women of God lined up for that podcast to come on and share their experiences and how God is bringing them through. I'm one of them, and on this I've never shared as much about what I've been going through with this, like I'm going to share on July the 6th. I might have said a few little things or commented on a few things that my brothers and sisters in Christ on the podcast might have said, but I'm going to share what I'm going through, what I've been going through. And I just thank God, because you can live through the attacks of the devil. You can live through what people say about you, say against you, talk about your mother, your father, and don't have a conscience about it. In the church, you expect it out of the church, But you don't expect it in the church, and that's where the deep wounds begin. That's where the deepest wounds come from. Jesus' deepest wounds came from the church. So we give God all the praise, honor, and glory tonight. Oh, my gosh. I just have my brother in the Lord. We grew up together, went to the same elementary school, and I found his brother on Facebook, or he found me. And then we started finding a whole lot of our elementary school friends. And then I got to talk to Bishop Sylvester. I learned that God has blessed him, that he is a bishop. And that's powerful to know. You know, who would have known? Our parents didn't even know that they were raising men and women of God to live holy, something that some of them didn't even understand. When I got saved, my mother and father didn't understand. They were still, you know, knowing me the way I used to be before I got saved. But the Lord, at some point before he took them to glory, they got saved. And I give him all the praise for that. Hallelujah. So we bless God tonight. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray, then I'm going to introduce Bishop Sylvester Wright as my first presenter, and he's going to minister the word to you on faith will always have opposition. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you, Lord. We bless your holy name. We lift you up. We honor you. We bow before you, Adonai Elohim. We humble ourselves before you, Lord, and we ask God that you would pour out your mercy and your grace upon us right now. Lord, that you would pour out your mercy upon our family members, our children, our grandchildren, our siblings, Lord God, our friends, our best friends, our foes really need your mercy, Lord. Hallelujah. You're Elroy, the God who sees me. Hallelujah. You're the only one that's supposed to see me 24/7. God, we thank you. We lift you up. You don't give permission, that kind of permission, to anybody else. Hallelujah. So, Lord, regardless of the technology that's being used to see us in our homes, in our bathrooms, in our bedrooms, Lord God, that's being used in the earth today, we thank you, Lord God, that you're a shield around us according to Psalm 3. We thank you, Lord God, that you cover us in the blood of your son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we obey you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your word says, if you love me, you'll obey me. That's a requirement. You require this of us, Lord. You said that we are to willingly obey you. So, God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that when you look upon us, you see your son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Pour out your spirit upon our flesh tonight. Beat back the forces of darkness on our behalf. Line your holy angels in the airwaves, Lord God, in the first and second heavens to guard the frequencies to this broadcast from every computer listening and from every phone of every listener and every presenter in the name of Jesus. We thank you for how you've been blessing us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we have a mind to tithe and give offerings with no problem, even with no job, even with unemployment, even, Lord, through a pandemic, Lord God. You blessed us to be able to give to somebody else. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just bless your name tonight. We want you to be lifted up, Lord God. We want you to be glorified. You get all the glory, honor, and the praise from what we say tonight, Lord Jesus. We bring truth from this podcast, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we bless your name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for getting us through this day, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for getting me through all the trials that I've been through just in the last 7 days. And, God, I thank you. I thank you that you know how to slap the devil in the face. I thank you that your word says in so many places that you laugh at them. I thank you, Lord, that you had me pull over my car in front of some haters. Lord God, just roll down my window and start laughing. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I give you praise. Every time I tell Minister Shay I'm going through something, she just laughs at the devil. And God, we thank you and we give you praise. We bless your holy name, Lord God. You said laughter is as good as a medicine, Lord, and we want to take it in every day. And we thank you. We bind the spirit of manipulation, intimidation, and domination in the name of Jesus. We loose the mighty power of the Holy Ghost, Lord God, to surround us, that no manipulating spirit can touch us, no intimidating spirit can touch us, no dominating spirit will dominate us in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you. We know that those traits are not of you, Lord, and we thank you. We want to imitate you, be like you, talk like you, walk like you, and even when we fail to do it, Lord God, we repent and get up and we start again. So, Father, we thank you, and we give you praise. Hallelujah. You're the only one that matters. Hallelujah. All this other stuff, Lord, doesn't matter. You're our first love, Lord God, and we thank you. Nobody can love us like you do. Nobody else is a friend like you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Everybody's subject to betrayal. You were betrayed at its height, Lord God, and you went through it, Lord Jesus, and we thank you. We thank you for your nail-scarred hands. We thank you for the sword in your side. We thank you, Lord, for the crown of thorns on your head. We thank you for the nail in your feet, O God. We thank you, Lord, how they stripped you naked, Lord God, and you hung up and took our shame. In the name of Jesus, you did, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we are free in every area of our lives. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, because your word says he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So, God, we give you glory tonight. Lord God, I lift up every child, relative, grandson, granddaughter, Lord, that's addicted to drugs or anything, alcohol, sex, lust, pride, in the name of Jesus. We come together collectively and we bind those spirits right now from them. You know them one by one. You know their names, Lord God. We command them to loose their hold on God's property, loose their hold on their minds, their bodies, their emotions, Lord God, and even their taste buds in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, release your anointing upon them. Release them. They can't come to Jesus unless you draw them. So draw them, Holy Spirit. Draw them to the bleeding side of Calvary. Cause them to cry out, what must I do to be saved? Lord God, we thank you. Minister to them in visions and dreams, O God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you and we give you praise. You promise us that you would save our household. And we come before you, Lord, regarding them. And we thank you. We thank you. We trust you. We don't trust in man. We don't trust in horses and chariots. We trust in the name of the Lord, and we bless you tonight. Hallelujah. 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 We can't outgive you, Lord, and we can't outbless you. We thank you. We thank you. I just decree and declare the blessings of the Lord upon every listener tonight, every person that listens even on demand at another time. I decree and declare the blessings of the Lord that make you rich and addeth no sorrow to them. My God, it seems like more people want to see you in sorrow than want to see you in joy. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Flood the earth with your glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! We give God all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. I don't know about you, but I'm back in my church for the last couple months, and I sometimes can't wait to get there. I used to go to 11 a.m. service before the pandemic, and when church started open, our church really opened a year ago, July 5th, when all the restrictions were lifted, but a lot of people stayed out of the sanctuary because COVID was still heavy at that time. So I just started going back this year, and more people are coming and filling the sanctuary at our church, at our location, and it's just a blessing. Now I can't wait to get there, and I go to 9 a.m. service, and I'm just corporate prayer is just something that I missed. And I just thank God. I thank God for my pastor. I just give him some honor tonight, Pastor Jack Morris, and his wife, Corinne. She's not doing her best, but God has raised her up so many times right out of hospice. Right out of hospice, when they thought she had a couple days left to live, God raised her up right out of hospice two times. So we believe God to lengthen her days. Pastor Jack needs her. So I am excited to have Bishop Sylvester Wright on tonight. Bishop Sylvester, how are you, my brother and my friend? Bishop Sylvester, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bishop Sylvester, how you doing? I had the wrong mic open.
Okay, I'm doing fine, Vandalism.
Cool, hallelujah. I thought you were up top, and I'm looking, then I had to look at my paper to find out your number. So God bless you. I'm excited. I'm always excited to hear what the Lord has given to you for us, and so your mic is open. It's all yours. God bless you. Take your time.
Thank you. Evangelist Linda Tatis, founder of Gatekeepers Ministry International. God bless you. Ask the Lord right now to bless and grant favor to all those who have been asked to minister what thus saith the Lord today. In this particular form, it's a blessing. The Bible says in Psalms 90, verse 17, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. I excited myself to even share this word. I listened to it because I ministered, to be honest with you, on one of our radio and I
Bishop
did a little bit.
Wait a minute, Bishop Sylvester, you're breaking up some.
Okay, hold on.
Okay, we want to hear this
is
clear.
This better? Is this better?
I'll know. Are you on speaker?
Yes.
Okay, we can't do speaker. Is it a speaker lamp? Or cell phone. I can hear you, but it was off and on. But I could not hear all of your words.
What about now?
That's much better. Yeah.
Okay. My topic concerns faith and opposition. The title is Faith Will Always Have Opposition. The supporting scripture is Hebrews 11, verse 1. The scripture says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Today I start my message speaking to you about what many preachers, Bible scholars, theology students, and some believers refer to as a landmark occurrence. It is seen in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 2 to 28. It's found in the Bible, and in my opinion, it's a story that is truly about faith and holds a direct teaching place to reference the act of practicing faith in the face of opposition. Let me say it again. Practicing faith in the face of opposition. The scriptural record, this one, takes place in the country of Ephraim during one of the Hebrew feasts of the Lord, near the Lord's tabernacle called Shiloh, which means gift. The particular time is called the Feast of Jehovah, the Passover, or the Feast of Tabernacles. It is a time of offering and dedication unto God and centers around the prophetess named Hannah. The Hebrew definition of the name Hannah means favor or grace. Now, we are told in 1 Samuel chapter 1, the second verse, that Hannah had no children. She was barren. Before we get started, I would like to interject an accepted cultural issue, one centering around Eastern women, that occurred during this particular time. For if a woman in the East were to be a wife and did not bear children, it was regarded as a matter of regret and looked on with disapproval, shame, and reproach. In ancient Israel, childlessness was received as evidence of not being blessed by Yahweh and seen as a curse. However, having children was accepted as God showing that woman favor. Socially, in the Hebrew manuscripts, the position of the childless woman is ranked among the despised, the poor, the helpless, and associated as a disability. It often could lead to divorce, and in many Eastern places and other religious practices, it is still this way today. The Bible tells us that Hannah and her husband Elkanah were childless and often made sacrifices to God in Shiloh. And many times they went there to ask the Lord for a child, but had not received the answer they both desired. It appears that there was a friend with a daughter named Peninnah, and Hannah continuously pressures her husband for years to take this woman as a second wife and bear children with her.
Okay. Your call dropped for a second, Bishop.
Okay. I'm just going to continue.
Okay.
Now, Elkanah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Now, Elkanah loves Hannah dearly, regardless of her being infertile, and eventually gives way to her request and takes young Peninnah as a second wife. Then as the years pass, this second wife gives birth to children. However, Hannah still cannot conceive a child, and despite her frequent prayers and petitions to God, she continues to be heartbroken. Peninnah is very bitter and indifferent towards Hannah, and she continues to bear down on her over and over, responding cruelly towards her, ridiculing and criticizing her barrenness in the attempt to break her and lower her self-esteem. You can say she was an outright bully towards her, amen? This was out of jealousy because of Elkanah's favor and love for Hannah. Remember, I said Elkanah loved his wife, regardless of her being barren. The Bible reads in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6 to 7, and her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her opposition, y'all. Therefore, she, Hannah, wept and did not eat. The Bible tells us Peninnah's intimidation and insults overwhelm Hannah, and in despair, she goes to the temple and weeps and prays. Then she makes a vow to God, promising that if he allows her to have a son, she will permanently place him under the temple priest Eli's care to be a temple servant and dedicated unto God. Now the priest observes Hannah. The priest Eli sees her praying and immediately thinks she's drunk. I often think to myself she was praying in tongues or in the spirit. Come on, somebody, give God some glory for quickening our spirit to know how to pray.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says when the priest Eli realizes the depth and sincerity and passion in our prayer, he says he hopes the Lord will answer our prayer. Further, scripture informs us that the Lord did answer Hannah's prayer, and she gives birth to Samuel. Also, despite the incredible pain she and her husband had felt about leaving the site of the temple, they would entirely submit to a made vow. Yet, as promised, when the child was weaned and with obedience, they trust the Lord will use Samuel according to their faith. The child is left with the priest. History teaches us that Samuel grows up and becomes the godly man his people have been seeking to restore the holiness of the temple. In addition, the Lord Jehovah also blesses Hannah with more children. Then to add honey to insult, despite Peninnah's cruelty over the years, Hannah helps her through some difficult times. Beloved, this Bible story, in my opinion, is a strong teaching to reference confirming faith in the face of opposition. For the Bible tells us, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. The Bible tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Beloved, we see God honor Hannah's faith. Praise God for rewarding those who diligently seek him. The Bible tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In this particular Bible account, we see God honoring Hannah's faith in the face of opposition. Praise God for rewarding those who diligently seek him. The Western New World College Dictionary defines faith as an unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence, such as the acceptance without doubting the belief in God or in religious practices or precepts. The word opposition is stated as the act of opposing and a position taken in an attempt to restrain, prevent, defeat, resist, reject, and to come against.
Yes.
However, if we expound further, faith is defined as a belief with strong conviction, meaning a firm belief in something for which there may be no concrete or tangible proof. It is the complete trust, confidence, reliance or devotion to hold on to hope regardless of what it looks like, even when everything is in opposition to our hope. The Holy Bible is Christianity's instruction book, and it teaches the believer faith is the opposite of doubt. The Word of God encourages a believer to whom they should have their faith in, who is Christ, but also why we should have faith in him. Amen? In our day-to-day lives, Christians are assailed, assaulted, or attacked, and sometimes violently, and in every direction, and very often by their own self-defeating doubt. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent by force. In the book of 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it encourages the believer to be a sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The verb prowls, as a word, is used here in the Greek present tense, which means a continuous action. And believe me, saints, this active opposition against the believer never stops. The enemy, Satan, is always prowling, always seeking to defeat us in battle. His desire and seeking is designed to bring dishonor to God's name. Satan also wants us to turn and dishonor God directly as well. I come to tell you today that doubt is not of God,
nor is it any of the character attributes of Jesus, but instead its origin is of Satan, and we can only overcome it by faith. Is one of Satan's weapons used against the believer of Jesus. The enemy encourages doubt as a concerted effort, entrenched, activated, and launched like nuclear missiles designated to reach a particular goal, and with the intent to defeat his adversary, being God and those belonging to him. And there is a specific account in the Bible alluding to distrust, suspicion, and doubt. It was one of the particular apostles' spiritual flaws. This particular follower of Jesus was one of the Lord's closest disciples and spent about 3 years living with him, seeing and witnessing his miracles and hearing his teachings. He spent intimate and quality time with Christ and obeyed personally the numerous demonstrations of the Lord's power, including his power to raise people from the dead. He's seen this. The apostle was actually present and listened to Jesus predict his resurrection. However, he still didn't believe Christ was resurrected until he could see it for himself. And instead he demanded the opportunity of the following: to see, touch, and feel the Lord as proof personally. He needed a touching, feeling faith. Beloved, seen in the book of the Holy Bible is the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John found in the New Testament. It confirms the scriptural account as it describes Jesus' appearance to his disciples, including confronting the Apostle Thomas 8 days after the resurrection. Please hear the events spoken in John chapter 20, verse 26 to 29, as you will get a deeper, deeper understanding about faith in the face of opposition. It is an amplified version of the Bible concerning faith and doubt. Amen. The Bible tells us 8 days later, his disciples were again inside the house, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors had been barred, meaning the entrance was blocked, and stood among them and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but stop doubting and believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, do you now believe? Spiritually secure and favored by God are they who did not see me and yet believe in me." Beloved, it is always important to look at all scripture as divine information and instruction for our Christian lives, and rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us as believers into necessary understanding. Such is the point in rightly dividing the word of God and bringing light to the fact that there were other apostles who also had doubt and struggled with faith, and not just Thomas. Amen? Such as in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 16 and 17. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him." Doubted. "And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted." The word "some" is the plural meaning for more than one. Amen? I come to tell you today that in this book of John, the Lord points us to the Apostle Thomas for a specific reason. And Jesus fulfills this question of why, trust granting the believer deeper insight on the subject of faith. It is in this revealing question and answer, saying in the following scripture, John chapter 20, 29, "Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." In the words Jesus saith unto him, "Because thou hast seen me, hast thou believed," the actual tense or reference time of the words given, "hast thou believed," is in the perfect present. Because Jesus is asking the question right now, hast thou become and art thou a believer? Beloved, looking at the instructions of John chapter 27, we see Jesus telling Thomas to reach out and touch his hands and sides, then commanding him to stop doubting and believe. Perhaps at first sight, this account accomplishes work, and the responding words are words of approval, but yet they are not totally accurate. And why? For Thomas had arrived at being convicted only by means of human senses and external stimulation, namely with the use of sight, smell, touch, taste, and hearing. However, Jesus says the highest state of receiving God's blessings and divine favor only comes to him or her who sees by the eye of the Spirit and not by that of the body. It is the believer who blesses and bases their consciousness on the conviction of their faith faculty and are independent of the changing occurrences of the senses. Jesus tells Thomas the following: blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Beloved, it is often difficult to see through the fog, confusion, and darkness of this world and beyond the storms and challenges of this life. There are times we may not feel God's presence or understand his guidance or purpose. However, no matter the circumstances, we hold on to our faith in God. Amen. And my supporting scripture today gives us the definition of trusting and operating outside of the natural, rooted in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. How about the prophet Jeremiah when he tells us in chapter 17, verse 7, 8, he says, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends down its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. My brothers and sisters, it takes faith to find God and faith to keep our eyes on Christ so that we persevere until the end. For with believers, faith starts a chain of events linked together, resulting in a particular outcome that ultimately leads to heaven. Thank you for allowing me to share this word. And I ask that you be blessed. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What a battle. As you were speaking, the enemy was just battling, didn't want that message to go forth. I could tell quickly. Yeah. Wow, that was powerful. Faith will always have opposition. I mean, the more you read the word, you'll see opposition all through the Bible. Joseph was such a brilliant young man. He sat at his father's side and listened and learned about his Savior, Almighty God, hallelujah, Adonai Elohim. And God saw that he had such a pure heart that he began to give him dreams. And look at the opposition. That is such a loving, powerful story. Look at the opposition that he got from the closest people to him that he loved the most. And God brought him through. What a betrayal. Wanted to kill him. His very own bloodline just totally rejected because God had favor with him. He favored Joseph and he spoke to him. Hallelujah. People today don't think that God speaks. They think he's dumb, that he can't talk. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that when I first got saved, my pastor let us know that we could hear the voice of God because there's a specific word that says, my sheep, my sheep, capital M, my sheep, God's sheep, Adonai's sheep, Elohim sheep, Jehovah sheep, hear my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. Hallelujah. What opposition you get, the real ones, that's the real deal, that's living holy and clean, I know your hand is raised with all the opposition that we get. Hallelujah. It just comes with the territory. So I give God praise for you, Bishop Wright. I don't know when you're home, when you're busy, when you're not. And I still want to have that conversation with you. Bishop Wright and I grew up together. We went to the same elementary school. And I had no idea that he knew my brother. My brother's deceased. I had no idea that he knew my brother in the last years of his life. And I kind of wanted to pick his brain about it. But I thank God for him. I thank God for bringing us all together. Hallelujah. What a wonderful time that would be when the rapture comes and we can see each other going up in the rapture and meeting in heaven before his face. Hallelujah. Thank you, Bishop Wright. Give my love to your wife. And I appreciate you, man. You have a blessed night and stay safe.
Thank you, dear.
God bless you. Minister Shay Johnson.
Yes.
I got your mic open. This is my spiritual daughter. That's how I treat her.
Yes.
And
yes.
God has blessed the connection, divinely blessed. And I'm excited that she's on the broadcast tonight. Minister Shay, it's all yours. God bless you.
God bless you. Truly, I thank God for, like you said, the connection for Evangelist Linda. She's, again, has been a mother, and I love her dearly. I thank God for all the speakers that's on tonight. Thank you, Bishop Wright, for that word that you gave on tonight. It truly blessed my spirit. I want to thank every listener on tonight. Truly, I am honored to be a part of this broadcast, and I count it all joy. So, Father God, I just pray that you decrease me so that you may increase in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. So faith will always have opposition. This topic definitely spoke to my spirit, and I know that this was definitely a divine connection for me to speak on this tonight, and I am truly honored. I am going to be coming from James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble of any kind comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Hallelujah. And so when I look at the word opposition, what comes to my spirit is it means my opponent. John 10:10 says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So therefore, my opponent is steal, kill, and destroy. Now, I've learned so much in my time of walking with the Lord, and I understand that this is a kingdom walk. We have to have a kingdom living. This is something that you cannot take off and put back on. This is a lifestyle that we must walk out. And so when I sit back and I look at the fact that I say, let's say if we are on a road to kingdom living, And on this road, we are approaching a fork. And so when you approach this fork in the road, you see two signs. And in these two signs, you have a choice to make on which route you want to take. One of the road signs is the road of comfort. And the other one is the road of opposition. Now, we know that majority of the people would definitely take the road of comfort because of the fact that they do not want to deal with any type of disappointment, no type of loss. You don't want to deal with any kind of pain. You know, I'm going to speak for me as being a mother and having children. We know that labor is pain. But even in that type of pain, I understand that I'm going to receive something that's going to be a blessing to me, that's going to make me happy. But a lot of times people don't want to go through that type of pain. They feel like, I just want to go through the road of comfort. A lot of them don't even want to put up a fight. I understand that we're living in a world today where everybody wants a fast hit. They want a microwave fix. They don't want to have to do the lead work. They just want to sit back and reap the benefit. A lot of people who are on this road of comfort, they don't have any goals set for themselves. They don't want anything out of life. What I understand is that even when you don't want to put up a fight, we have to learn to whatever is worth having, it's worth fighting for. And so even when you go down this road of comfort, what I realize is that it does not excuse you from any of your opponents. You still got to deal with the kill, steal, and destroy. And the reason why is because that when you have decided to give your life to God, and he has placed you under his protection and his covering, you automatically receive a target on your back from the enemy because you became his enemy. So there's no way of escaping from what the opposition, there's no way of escaping from that. And what I realize is in Matthew 11 and 12, it says that the kingdom of heaven suffered violence and the violent take up by force. We are the kingdom of God on earth. And so if the kingdom is being affected, we got to learn to be aggressive and take it by force, what belongs to us here on earth. Because he gave us dominion here, and we should be ruling the earth. We can't have this passive spirit and just allow the enemy to have the victory. We've got to learn to put on the whole armor of God and to stop taking the road of comfort and learn to take the road of opposition. Why do we need the road of opposition? Well, as the Bible says in James, he talks about when trouble of any kind comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. That means that you get a chance. It's something that's stirring up. There's something in you that when trouble comes your way, you got to press your way through this and find your happy place. You got to press through this and find that joy, that unspeakable joy that the world didn't give to you. You know, that's why it's so important that we dwell in that secret place. Because if we stay in that secret place in God, when trouble comes, our foundation is stable. We're not shaken. We're not wavering. We're not all over the place, but we know the God that we serve. It is very important that we take this road of opposition because it does something for us. What does it do? So the thing about verse 2 when it says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Okay. So this road of opposition, it's a road of building you. It's a road of shaping you. It's a road of molding you. It's a road of what God has predestined over your life. This is the road that we must take. There's no way around it if you say you want to be used by God. If you say that you are a child of God, there's no other way around it. We have to submit ourselves to him. Our body is the temple for the Holy Spirit. So we can't take the road of comfort. We must take the road of opposition. This road of opposition, what it's going to do, it's some things on the inside of us that we know is not right, some sinful attitudes. You know, I hear a lot of people say, this is just who I am. You're either going to take it or not. This is just me. No. If you are in God and you say you have a relationship with God, those are not his characteristics. Being nasty, rolling eyes, talking about people, bringing discord, gossiping, all those things, those sinful attitudes, those are not of God. And so when you go down this road of opposition, it's some stuff that's going to be coming to the surface. It's going to be some things like, say, some misplaced priorities. You're not spending enough time in God. You're not seeking him. You're not building a relationship with God. You're running around all over the place, and you're not putting God first. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. We as body of Christ, we as the children of Christ, we cannot afford to just live a life and not include God and think that we're going to be blessed. It just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. And then it's going to also bring up some sinful nature. You need to learn some self-control, because a lot of times we let this flesh have its way. You saying you a child of God and you acting like that? You out there and you doing all this? I don't know about that. Where's the self-control? How do you represent God? So going down this road of opposition, it's going to allow some things to come to the surface so that you can see the areas in your life that need to be worked on. We can't go to God and we can't do the things of God any kind of way. God is a God of order, in decency and in order. We got to represent God in a way that brings him the glory. But if your flesh is all over the place, he can't get the glory. He just can't get the glory. And this right here, as it says, so let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect, complete, needing nothing. So with all this stuff that's coming up, it's giving God, your teacher, an opportunity to show you areas that need to be worked on, your teacher. Because, you know, when you go to school, that's what teachers are for. They are there to guide you, to show you areas that you need work on. But we must humble ourselves to receive those things and say, I'm willing. We must be willing to learn. It's very important that we really take the time to really see those things that God is allowing us to see. Because every day that he allows us to wake up and see another day, there's lessons in that. How are you going to handle the lessons? How are you going to see it? Faith always have opposition. As long as we are here on earth and we claim salvation and we say that we belong to God and he is our Father and he's over us and we bow down to him, there is no way that we can excuse ourselves from these opponents. The enemy once you give your life to God, you are an enemy to the enemy. And so his job is to try to kill your faith, to steal your faith, to destroy your faith. And it is so important with everything that's going on in this world today that we build our faith like never before in order to fight what the enemy brings to us. We should not be fighting one another. We should be loving one another, praying for one another, building one another up. If we say we serve the same God, if we say that we are in the body of Christ, it shouldn't be no hate. It's already enough of that from the enemy. He said that he came that we may have life more abundantly in him. We got to learn to build our faith in God and put on the whole armor of God and fight this fight. And do not allow our opposition to take us down, but allow them to build us. Allow them to be a tool of training and molding and shaping and making us to be everything that God already predestined for us to be from the very beginning.
Hallelujah.
It's all about the kingdom, and it's all about what he wants. Our faith, he said, our faith makes us whole. When the woman with the issue of blood was going through, her faith made her whole. Are you going to allow your faith to make you whole today and walk in what God has called you to walk in? In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to allow my faith. Hallelujah. When I first got saved, my pastor told me that I had the gift of faith. And
amen.
I didn't even know what that meant until I read the Bible. I know when I wasn't saved, people used to say to me, no matter what happens in your life, you always make it. We don't even know how you make it, but you always make it. And that was when I wasn't saved. So now that I'm saved, I'm going to always make it.
Amen.
You know, and some real good key that you said about having an opponent. You know, there's some people in the church that position themselves to intentionally be your opponent.
Yes.
And they think that they got the victory over you. They think that they can, because of their influence, they can destroy you, talk about you, and all the things that you named. You can't tell me that in their right mind they did not intentionally become your opponent, because guess what? They didn't think that you could beat them. As you are walking in the spirit, that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, you battle that thing in the Holy Ghost.
Yes, Lord.
Then the Holy Ghost will begin to tell you who your real opponent is, the snake that's using that person. Hallelujah.
Absolutely.
The snake,
thank you, Jesus.
The same snake in the garden. Now, if you want to be an opponent to someone that is really walking in obedience to God, then you've already lost. Because there's no way that you could win. I don't care if you call yourself saved, what your title is, where you live, who you're married to. A person that is obedient to God, because that's the key from Genesis to Revelation.
Yes, Lord.
Will walk in faith. So I don't understand how people position themselves to be your opponent. and you don't hardly know them.
Right.
But God, the devil sets them up
mm-hmm.
to be your opposition.
Because
Amen. You're sitting in the pew, they're sitting on the pulpit. You don't have the influence they have, and they have the influence, and therefore they think they got it over you.
Yes.
But there's an obedient saint somewhere positioning
Glory.
Themselves under a prayer shawl, seeking the face of Almighty God, where he shows up and talks to them, and your opposition has never heard his voice. So I just praise God. I'm seeing so much in this topic as Bishop Wright and as Minister Shea has been speaking that it's really blessing me. It really is. So I just give God all the praise, honor, and glory. I can't wait to hear this again when it goes on demand. Thank you, Minister Shea. I love you, young lady.
Thank you. I love you, too.
And,
I love you, too.
I'm really blessed by this message. I know you do. So I give God all the praise, honor, and glory for you. And I will ask you again sometime after my next trip or my next two trips. You know, I got to keep it going because
I've
reached an age where God has truly blessed me and where I have an opportunity to go places and see places, and as long as Jesus goes before me and goes with me, I'm fine.
Amen.
I am fine.
I'm gonna be
because
like you
he
one
is
day.
The divine, excuse me?
I'm going to be like you one day.
He is my divine date. You know, he don't hold me up, stand me up, or make me wait. When he says, okay, pick the place because I'm going before you, even before you know the place you're picking, and I'm going with you. And you don't have to worry about me not wanting to go to the beach when you want to go or the spa when you want to go or on a tour when you want to go because you're filled with my spirit and I'm just going with you. So I praise God because at my age, I don't want no drama.
Amen.
And I do well, just me and Jesus. I told the Lord the next time you give me an assignment, don't put no man in it. Because as soon as you add a man, you know, it don't get done when you want it to get done. And then you waiting on this man to wake up and get up and obey God and do what he's told you to do.
Oh,
so
Jesus.
I've done every assignment in the earth that God has told me to do, spoken to my heart, my spirit in a dream, vision, audibly, and it's gotten done. Give me a something to do that has to do with a man. I'm glad I don't have to pay for that disobedience. But I give God all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Hallelujah. And I'm going to use up some weeks in every month this year and try to next year to see some places that I really want to see before I go up in the rapture, and that'll be the ultimate experience. So thank you, young lady. I appreciate you. You know I love you dearly. And we'll talk again
love
soon. God bless you.
Okay.
God bless you. Prophetess Iris, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How about you doing?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed by hearing these speakers, this word, and it's really ministering to me. You know, when
Amen.
You get a topic from the Holy Ghost, it will minister to you. So your mic is open. It's all yours. God bless you.
God bless you too, Linda. God bless you. Praise the Lord for this beautiful topic, another one. You know, that is so true of every believer's life, and it's so deep in our spirit that, you know, as we start to walk in faith with God, as we start to walk our life like a child and holding our Father's hand And then we see that as we are growing up, holding our father's hand, we see the enemy trying to come in and try to pull us away from our father through opposition. And there are many forms of opposition to the faith. And it's a faith that's the way to the heart of God, because it pleases the heart of the Father. So faith is a deep way, is a deeper way, is a connection with the Father, with the Father of our heaven and earth. And we glorify him, and we do the things he has called us to do, and we serve him, we minister to others, we stay faithful, we stand strong on our ground, and we build the temple of God through this seed of faith, of belief, and discarding unbelief from our lives. And it's a walk, it's a journey that really starts from as if you're holding a father's hand as you're 1 year old and try to walk your first baby step. And as you're growing and maturing, and then you're standing like a young adult man on the side of your father, and your father is looking at the son and saying, is this the same 1 year old kid I have with me? And look at my young son, handsome and tall and great and strong. And this is the Father, how he wants to see us. This is how he wants us to grow in our faith and fight our battles in the world. Because we are born to fight our battles. Because Jesus did that. His prophets did that. Everyone who is coming to serve the Lord and their chosen one, they're doing that. It's a continued journey until the Lord comes back. And as I was looking at the many examples, and, you know, we all go through the journey. We all go through the journey. And before I begin and start with the scripture, I'm going to bless this. Lord, Heavenly Father, we come before you, God. This is not ours, but this is your message, God. God, we pray for the Holy Spirit, God, to teach us, to guide us, to lead us in this message. Touch our hearts, Father, and pierce into our heart and make a root in our heart and help us to walk in your glory, in your power. Because, God, in this time and age and what's going around in the world, God, we need you more than ever. Please come and shelter us. And give us your courage, give us your faith, and help us in this world. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. So, you know, when we look at the life of Jesus, and he had gone through the opposition the most, because he was the one who was hanged on the cross. The opposition against him was one of the, you know, most offensive, most targeted, most hated, most condemned, most ridiculed, most hated on him. He was killed. He was tormented. And in all his journey, in all his ministry, from the day one he started to the day he hanged, he had gone through the process of opposition. So faith will always have opposition. Our greatest example to live a life in faith like Jesus did, in every step of his walk, in his journey, he gave the message, for the kingdom of God has come. Repent, for the kingdom of the God has come. That was his main message. And that message was to build his church, to bring his kingdom on earth. And if his disciples, if his servants are not walking in the same faith and they learn how to fight their battles, go through the opposition, still stand strong and don't give up, we are not going to able to serve and win the souls on earth. There's so many great and nice people, though there's huge opposition out there, but there are amazing people who are predestined, who are chosen one of God. They need to be reached. And if we allow our opposition to come against us, how can we finish our run? How can we run this race and win the crown and hear from our master, my, you know, well done, my servant? So I was also looking at the life of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the one who had gone through so much opposition from the moment they started their even a thought about making the wall of, you know, of building the wall. They started to deal with the opposition. And as I was reading about his life story, and I was reading the chapter 4 on Nehemiah, exactly in the same parallel fashion, we go through our opposition. Our opposition comes in many forms and shapes. Well, Jesus said, if I'm hated, you'll be hated too. He said that I have come not to, you know, but to separate a daughter from a, you know, mother-in-law, from to bring the separation between the relationships. So that separation that happens the moment a person come to know Jesus and they are really walking in one-on-one walk with God as father with the son, they are going to go through opposition. And our opposition is not the flesh. Many times we look into, hey, we have so much opposition, we have so much hatred, and we go and go in offense, or maybe we try to deal with the person or with the group of people or with the organization in many ways. But that's not the right way, because we read also in the scriptures that our fight is not against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers of darkness. It's not the people who are working against us. It's the spiritual battle. Light hates the darkness and dark, and they cannot stand the light. So if you're the light in the world, if you're the salt in the world, you naturally is going to be hated. And that had happened from the beginning, and it's going to continue to happen. So when Nehemiah started to build the wall, you know, he had been encountered the enemy, and they had mocked, you know, as we read in verse 1, it's just like that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. So they started to get up, and they started with mocking. So when you start with your journey, when you start with your walk with God, this is often the first weapon enemy uses against you, is to mock you, is to put you down, it is to kill your self-confidence. And this is exactly it that happened. This is the first step the enemy of Nehemiah did when they started to rebuild the wall. We rebuild the wall. We are building the temple of God. So that is also in the same fashion. It's the spiritual. It's a description of the spiritual, you know, life. Building, rebuilding the wall of a human body, or just look at the person. We are all broken and shattered. So each, every, you know, our life, our loved one's life, and our ministering, we are ministering to people. We are constantly working on rebuilding the walls, rebuilding the lives that have been crashed and totally broken down. So anytime you start to begin that journey, this is what the first weapon enemy is going to throw, is to mock, so that you get discouraged. That is to discourage and to bully you. That's the first weapon enemy does. As we work out there, as we go out there, we experience in daily lives. Anytime you want to stand up for witnessing God, or at work, try to pray and say the name of the God or put the Bible out there, people will mock you.
you're going to be condemned. You're going to see the opposition the moment you talk about Jesus. And I think in the world, there's so many faiths out there, the media, and you know, they point to the different religion and different faiths, and they focus on them having the opposition. But the Christians, the true Christians, go through the persecution, I think, more than anyone else. Silent persecution as well as the physical persecution all over the globe. There's so many people are dying every day because of the opposition of faith. You know, when they're converting and coming to know Jesus, the families, the loved ones are kicking them out of their homes because we don't know you, because we don't want you to accept this Jesus. Who is that Jesus? Even in Israel, I heard that, I have not gone there, but there's so many groups who would go against Christians and Messianic Jews. So, and all over the world. And as we are heading up to the end of the last days, that persecution is going to go even worse. So the next step, you know, as Nehemiah is growing, and they said, no, we are going to continue to build our walls, and we are going to stand strong. And he spoke before his brethren in the army of Samaria. So his enemy, all that people, you know, they're saying that the Jews, you know, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones, the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? So they're mocking them. That, you know what, there's not even a stone on stone, and how they're going to build that wall. They're mocking them. And you know what, in the verse 3, they're even coming up against them even worse, that, you know, whatever they build, if even a fox goes on it, it's going to break down. So it's constantly, you know, ridiculing, constantly making fun of them, putting them down, killing their confidence. But Nehemiah and all these men of God did not give up. And this is a life for us. We want to be like Nehemiah. He is such a beautiful character, a man of faith and strength, courage, and strategy. That was a man who knew how to go against the opposition, still finish the job of rebuilding the wall. And he started praying. That's the number one first victory that comes through our talking to God. Involve God in your personal situation. Involve him immediately. You know, if you delay that, enemy will have more power and authority against you. Immediately, what Nehemiah did in verse 4, hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder as a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity. So he has involved God, and he's saying that they have provoked you to anger before the builders. You and I are the builders of the kingdom of God. And you know, we should have the same I would say that, you know, it's like a pride in that, because in that scripture I see that, do not let this sin be blotted out from before you, God. He's talking to God. He's interceding with God. He's connecting with God, talking to him one-on-one the way Moses used to talk with God. For they have provoked you to anger before the builders. So that's what you are. You are a man of faith. You're a woman of faith. Nothing can stand before you, no matter where the opposition is coming from. It's going to come. Because Jesus said, if I am hated, you will be hated too.
So it's impossible that you're not going to be hated, you're not going to be condemned, you're not going to be put down. And I always ask the question, anyone who do not feel they are ever condemned, they're ever, you know, put down, or they have the opposition in their spiritual and physical life, then we need to ask the question, am I truly walking with Jesus? Am I the image of Jesus? Am I doing the things that Jesus loves? There is something missing. So at that moment, we need to repent and come to the Lord and ask him to make us like him. Because if we are like him, the spiritual powers of the darkness would hate us. And they will come against us through the channels, through the sources, through the people, through the situations, through the circumstances to hinder the work of God. But we need to be like Nehemiah, intercede and pray, just like God did. So we built the wall. The entire wall was joined together to half its height. So they keep building, they keep praying, they keep strong, they keep building the temple. They did not give up. And now the same enemy, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Arabs, and Ammonites, and Ashdodites, they heard, you know what, they were surprised in verse 7 that, you know what, Nehemiah still is building the wall of Jerusalem so to be restored. And the gaps were beginning to be closed, and they become very angry, and they conspired to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Second weapon that the enemy uses against God's people, his servants, his loved ones, is to attack and create confusion. The confusion comes from the enemy. That's a more destructive weapon after he uses, you know, first is condemnation to make you, you know, put you down. Second is confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayers to our God. And because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Now, there you go. This is the second thing the church needs to do when the opposition arrives, is to set up a watch against them day and night. This is where the wall of Jericho is going to fall against you. Create, when you see that there's a confusion and there's a conflict, there's an attack, fierce is attack coming against your life, this is a time to go into prayers and set the watch against you day and night. This is a time to give up the worldly life. This is a time to give up TV. This is a time to, you know, give up your fun. This is a time to get up and pray day and night, to dwell in the presence of Most High. Then Psalm 91 comes in play, because then you have a watch around you day and night. And you're constantly working on building the wall. Because if you don't go to the next step of your strength in your spiritual warfare, you are going to fail. You will not be able to build the wall that the God has given. You will not be able to finish your mission. You will not be able to finish your calling. The resistance gets stronger and stronger against you. And that's the way to succeed, is to set a watch around you day and night. Be God-focused. Be Jesus-focused. Meditate on him. Pray day and night. And our adversaries, 11 verse, you know, said, oh, they will neither know or see anything till we come into the midst and kill them, cause the work to cease. Third weapon, they want to come in the middle and kill you. Then enemy come to the next step. He sends the people against you. They come to kill your conscience. They come to kill you and kill you totally, kill you to death, and cause the work to seize you. And that's the journey of every Christian every day. If you're a child of God and you're walking with God in your personal life, ministry life, this is what you're going through. And what they did. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came and they told us 10 times, from wherever place you turn, they will be upon us. And they positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall openings and set people according to their families, and the swords, the spears and bows, and rose the noblemen and leaders and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid. Remember the Lord, God, great five brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. This is what we need in the church today. Everywhere the church has been ripped apart. You see, the churches have become so lukewarm because the enemy had caused so much confusion for centuries, for decades. And look at the condition of the church, of the body of Christ today. But this is not so. We are going in the worst condition in the world. The plagues are arising, the storms, the wars, and all these things are going to arise in a very drastic and troublesome way. How we are going to be able to work if we are not going to follow the patterns that Nehemiah did? Therefore, they position the men. It's not only the men. They position them at lower wall, upper wall, every corner, and their families. They set up the family according to the families with sword, with weapons, with all the gears they have. And your sword is the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you. That's the sword of the Spirit, is the Word of God. You have the authority against the scorpions and serpents, against all the powers of the darkness, and all the noblemen, leaders, and rest of the people. The whole churches, whole congregation, the crowd came up to fight the battles against their enemies, because the enemy was not giving up. It was constantly harassing. So they had, you know, raised up everybody in a family, sons, daughters, wives, houses. But look at the houses we have today. Look at the homes we have today. Divorce is everywhere. The kids are going out partying, drugs and tattoos and, you know, all kind of a evil lifestyle. They're constantly in their video games and TV and their fun stuff. They are not focused on God. They are not inspired with God. I pray for my, you know, I'm seeing so much transformation in my home. Oh, Lord, I praise you for that. I praise you for that. My kids had gone through the worst of the bullying, both of them in their school. They had gone through so much challenges, but their sufferings had built them into the temple of God. And I have been praying that God give them a fire for you. My daughter, my son, they are young people, but they have no hearts for parties. They have no desire for friends. They don't have any desire for going out in the world and socialize. They are constantly in praying, in fasting, thirsty for God, word of God. We meditate. My home is really the temple of God 24/7. Except my husband is a little bit on the TV programs. But when I sit down, I love to listen to worship music, sermons, word of God. My daughter is the same way. My son is also walking in the same way. He spent almost all night reading Bible, 25-year-old man. My daughter is 21-year-old in fire for God. That's what you need to build the wall. You cannot do that if your daughters and sons and your wife, your houses are breaking apart because of your selfish greed and lust and evil living inside you. Devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. He's destroying thousands of homes. We have gone through a lot of sufferings, but I praise God for the suffering he has brought in my children's life. Without those sufferings, my daughter will be out partying in a club today. Without those sufferings, my son will be doing something else today. It's the sufferings that build them to be the child of God. I praise God for opposition. I praise God for suffering. I praise God for the prayers that he has given us. I know my time is almost end. I'm going to end with one scripture, and I pray that it's going to bless your heart. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Amen. Lest we come together, no matter what happens in our life, no matter what battles we go through, we are going to confess our faith that Jesus is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's the Messiah of the universe. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You fired me up when you started saying praise God for opposition. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. The devil gave Jesus opposition everywhere he went. Came from the church, politics. Everywhere he went. Couldn't avoid it. Faith attracts opposition.
Yes.
Because without the opposition, we don't even have a testimony. Nehemiah prayed on the wall. That Tobiah and Sanballat that came up against him wanted to just destroy him. Here he was there to help build a wall to protect the nation they lived in. And they became and positioned themselves as opposition, haters of Nehemiah. You know, this topic and these messages will cause the listener to see opposition totally different. You know, we almost want to welcome it now. That's how I feel. Because if you don't have any faith, if you're a coward, you're not going to have opposition. If you don't have anybody in your circle, they're just kissing up to you and will do anything you tell them to do, then you don't even have faith. God ain't even in that circle. I like to be in a circle where people can tell me, you know, if I've stepped out in the wrong way, that they love me and respect me enough that if I tell them or ask them to do something for me that's totally obscene, sinful, wicked, and evil, I'll say to them, that's not God. Where you get that from? That came from the devil. Nowadays, people just do what you tell them to do because you're so-and-so. They don't care if they go to hell for you. And you don't care about going to hell asking them. This is reality in a lot of places, in a lot of leadership. Because people don't want to fail the leader that they place on a pedestal. They want the name attached to them. They want to be able to brag and say how they know them. You don't have to have faith for none of that. And believe me, you won't get no opposition. Because the devil just loves that kind of stuff. He just does. But I praise God for opposition, and I praise God that I can see it differently now. That the Lord has me to laugh in the face of the enemy. Thank you Prophetess Iris, powerful word. I thank you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That I remember some things your son was going through years ago. I thank you that God has brought him out because you stayed on the wall of faith and prayer for him. And I believe that same for my daughter to get totally delivered and have a thirst for the word of God like she used to. So I thank you, my sister. I love you. Thank you for just blessing us tonight with that word. God bless you.
You are a blessing. Amen.
Thank you, Prophetess Iris. Bishop Bronson.
God bless you.
How are you doing, sir?
We are greatly blessed of the Lord these last days and time.
Well, praise God, the last shall be first. So we're all ears, Bishop Bronson. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, Seer Evangelist, to the other presenters, the other speakers, and to all of those who are listening in on your platform. Such a privilege, and we count it an honor for the opportunity to fellowship and to share in the Word of God with you on this afternoon. Faith will always have opposition. Glory to God. We certainly thank God. What a mighty word and what a powerful word topic that is, because faith will always have opposition. You know, if there was no opposition, then there would be no need of faith. Glory to God. So we thank God today that in saying that as people of God, we must know and understand who we are. Many times opposition validates the move of God in your life. Opposition validates many times your assignment, because if you can do it without opposition, then it is quite very likely that God might have not given you the assignment. Praise be unto God. But opposition is there because of the way that God fashioned us, because of the way that God made us, and because of who we are in him. Opposition is there because of the power of faith that is in our lives. Glory be to God. I have several scriptures that I'm going to go ahead and give you so that you can go back and research them and read and get the fruitfulness out of what God has placed on my heart this evening. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Hebrews chapter 11, very familiar scriptures, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 11. Praise God. And also Romans chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. We probably won't read all of them, but those are focal points in the word that God has given me on this evening. I'm going to begin reading in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, verses 26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." Remember that word, dominion. "And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth," glory to God, "and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Praise be unto God. Let them have dominion over all of these things and over all of the earth. Because God gave us dominion, that does not mean that we will not have opposition. Glory to God. The opposition is there, but because it is the will of God for us to have dominion, then God has given us the power of faith to execute dominion over the things, praise God, that are in the earth. Glory to God. I'm going to go now to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Glory to God. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Praise God. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning was the first day. Praise be unto God. So when we see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Holy Trinity, when we see them in operation in the beginning here in the book of Genesis, glory to God, when we see them in operation, God the Father, God the Son, who is the Word, and God the Holy Spirit that is moving, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. When the Lord created the heavens and the earth, it was not created in a completed form. Praise God. When we are, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We're not in a completed form. We have to grow up into the full stature of Jesus Christ. God does not bring us forth. We come forth out of sin and out of iniquity to be born anew, to be born again. But there is a process that God has to take us through to bring us to the place that he will have for us to be in, to bring us into the full stature of Jesus Christ. And there's going to be always opposition, because the Bible say that the whole world lieth in wickedness. We're living in a world, praise be unto God, since the fall of man, where wickedness is planted throughout the earth. Glory to God. So in order for us to walk in power, in order for us to walk in dominion, in order for the people of God to come into the full stature of Jesus Christ, we execute dominion over the adversary through faith in God's word, through obedience, and through the power that God has placed within our lives through the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 and 8 tells us that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost have come upon you. Praise God. So we have power to execute dominion in the earth. When we see God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the beginning, I believe that God is teaching. I believe that when we see that the scriptures say that he created the heavens and the earth, but they were without form and they were void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, God brought it forth in an incompleted form. Glory, hallelujah. And here we see that he took a mass. He took what he had created. You don't see what he created because water and darkness covered the face of the deep. Glory to God. But by faith and through vision, God brought forth these things. Hallelujah. It is the same way that it is in our life. Many times we want to build something. Many times we want to set off in a certain direction in life. Glory to God. And I think what God is doing here, and I'm convinced in my spirit, over 34 odd years of being saved, and about 30 plus years being ordained into the ministry, I think I have a good understanding of what the Holy Spirit has been ministering to me concerning what is actually taking place here in the beginning. The Spirit of God brooded. It hovered over the face of the deep, over the face of the water. Glory to God. The scripture tells us that where there is no vision, people perish. Hallelujah. I believe that God in his spirit hovering and moving over the earth. I believe that God was setting order because he is a God of order. Glory to God. I believe that he was setting boundaries because the question is asked in Job when Job was having a pity party. God asked him, where were you when I gave the seer's decree and said, hitherto shall you come but no further? God was setting decrees. He was setting boundaries in place. He was setting the laws of this natural realm, of this in place, and the heavens. Glory to God. I believe that his spirit was moving. Praise be unto God. And nothing took place in the natural until God began to speak. That is when we began to see his vision. I believe God was envisioning what he was about to do. Praise be unto God. And operating in faith. He was, I believe, demonstrating to us as believers, to the people of God, that if you want to do anything in this earth realm, you need to seek a move from God. Praise be unto God. He is God. He knew what he wanted to do in the creation. He knew what he was going to do in the creation. But I believe that he was teaching us vision because in this world, Jesus said, you shall have tribulation, but be of good courage, be of good cheer, because he hath overcome the world. I believe that the Lord here is teaching us, glory be to God, how to operate in faith. So if we seek a move from God, because these laws and these statutes and these boundaries that God set in order in the earth, that he set in place, they are there not to be moved, glory be to God, but through the power of faith. Those things are set there as oppositions in this earth, glory to God. But through the power of faith, we can exercise dominion over things that God himself has placed in order. Glory be to God. So he said, let there be light. God saw light inside of his spirit. And the Bible tells that God has dealt unto every man the measure of faith. If we see the first scripture that we read here, the Lord said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. So he made man in his image, after his likeness. He created he them, male and female. So we are created in the image and after the likeness of God. God is righteous. God is holy. He's powerful. He's almighty. Glory be to God. And he is a God of faith. When man was brought forth in Genesis 2 and 7, the Bible saying the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He was lying there just a shell. He came forth incomplete. But God, the Holy Spirit, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. I believe God's word is forever settled in heaven. I believe his word is true. Glory be to God. So if man is created or man is made in the image and in the likeness of God, when God breathed into him, he breathed a portion of himself into man, because we see that when he was given a commandment in the garden concerning the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Lord told him that in the day that you touch of this fruit, that you shall surely die. But in Genesis 2 and 7, he was made alive. But God told him in the day that you touch that fruit, that you will surely die. Glory to God. And when Adam disobeyed God, the first death that he suffered was a spiritual death. Are you with me today? God's word is true. He suffered a spiritual death, but a total of 930 years, he lived upon the face of the earth. But he was just like God. He was created in the image and in the likeness of God. I believe that this is why Jesus, when the disciples asked him to teach them to pray, I believe that it is why one section of that prayer say, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, because we are a reflection of God in the heavens, here on earth. On the earth, we are a reflection of who he is through Jesus Christ. But in the beginning, in the first estate, the first state of man, he was made in God's image, and he was made after his likeness. Glory be to God. So in order for him to have dominion, you think about the large animals. You think about the rushing water. You think about the great fish that are in the ocean. You think about the creeping things that are upon the earth, and you compare man to that. Man has no physical comparison to rule over things after such. Glory to God. But through the power of faith, and in that God gave us dominion, we exercise faith and take authority over, exercise dominion through faith over everything that God has made. Glory be to God. Everything that the Lord made on earth and put there, he gave man dominion over that. Hallelujah. So we see that God is teaching here, teaching us how to walk in faith, teaching us how to have a vision, glory be to God, and teaching us that there is power in the words that we speak. Glory. So many times as believers, we fail to realize that there is power in the words that we speak. Many times if we speak unwise words, they create opposition. That's why we must know what the will of God is for our life. We must know the word of God, and we must speak in agreement with the will of God after the counsel, after the knowledge of God. James said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God and upbraid it not, and God, who give it liberally, will give you wisdom. Glory to God. We must ask God for those things to assist us in walking in faith and walking in dominion. Praise be unto God. God has placed us in a world that has so many things in opposition to us, and we should never fear opposition, but we must know who we are, and we must seek the will of God to know what his will is concerning our life, that we might execute dominion through faith. Praise be unto God, because faith will always have opposition. Glory be to God, because faith defies the natural order of things. Glory to God. It defies the total natural order of things. Glory, hallelujah. So we must expect the opposition. Jesus told us, behold, I give you power over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. God has given us power and authority over the enemy, and we must have faith in God's word, praise be unto God, that we can walk in power, walk in victory through faith in Jesus' name, because faith will always, it will always have opposition. Glory be. God said we knew we wasn't going to have time to go through all of the scriptures, but bear in mind Romans chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. It say Paul the apostle is appealing to the church. He said, I beseech you, I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So let me go on. Let me read the last verse. I want to read this to you. Glory to God.
As we are closing out.
Praise
God.
Take your
time.
Glory. Hallelujah. Here, the Apostle Paul, he's appealing to the church. He's begging the church, because the only way that faith can be perfected in our lives is we must not conform to this world, because this world is after a natural order, but we must conform
Hallelujah.
Unto spiritual things. By how? By the renewing of our mind, that we might prove what is that good and what is that acceptable and what is that perfect will of God. Now, here in verse 3, it says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. We have the measure of faith. We have the operation of faith. We have that God-giving ability down on the inside. God is saying, don't think more highly of yourself than anyone else, because he was speaking to the church here in Rome. He was telling them that they should be on one accord, that they should see and they should walk and they should agree in the things of God with one spirit, because God has dealt unto every one of them the measure of faith. Even though we have opposition, we must allow faith to give us the dominion. Through Jesus, we lost a lot in Adam, the first man. Praise be unto God. But the second, the last man, Adam, Jesus Christ, brought a full restoration unto us. That's why many times when Jesus was with his disciples and his disciples could not do certain things, he would say, oh, ye of little faith, because we must understand that we walk by faith and not by sight. We must understand that even though we are natural in this world, we are spiritual as well. Glory to God. Jesus was the Son of Man, but he also was the Son of God. We don't know what he's going to be like when he appears, but we know that when he appears, we're going to be just like him, because we'll see him as he is. Just as Jesus walked the earth, praise God, we are walking the earth in this earth suit with the Spirit of God living down on the inside. The Bible tells us that they that come to God must first believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. Glory to God. Faith will always have in opposition. God bless you, Seer.
Glory to God. Oh, my gosh. Hallelujah. The scripture that not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think like that, I said that out loud in my house today.
Praise God. Yes.
Because when you do, then you think yourself above everybody else.
My Lord.
And you violate principles of God. You walk in pride.
Yes.
And you become and you position yourself the opponent or the opposition to Christians that don't think like you.
My Lord.
So that was on my heart today, and I just said it out loud. I don't want to be in that position. I don't ever want to intentionally place myself as another person's opposition unless the devil is using you. I'm not on the side of the devil. I'm on the Lord's side. Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
And that is how I live intentionally, making sure that my life lines up with the Word of God, making sure that my heart is pure and my hands are clean, and that I am not intentionally or deliberately positioning myself as opposition to anybody. I don't care whether you're saved or not.
Yes.
I don't want the drama. I don't want to give my time to that. But I will not sit back and say nothing and pray nothing to those that have intentionally position themselves as my opponent or opposition for me, and let
Glory
the devil
God.
Use them against me, against my life, my future, my dream, my vision, against my ministry. If I'm not anything else, I'm a soul winner.
Praise God.
And when you position yourself in opposition against me, then you're going to do whatever you can, and the devil will use you to do whatever you can to stop me from winning souls.
Lord, glory to God.
And that is the most productive ministry that God breathes on, smiles on in the church.
Yes.
To win souls to him. That is for what he died. Hallelujah. So I just give God praise today. I could preach another message. Faith will always have opposition. Did nobody give me that word but the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I just bless God tonight. I saw on my phone that you were preaching on Facebook. I said, all right now. And sometimes I remember a long time ago you were doing that at the same time as you were ministering on Gatekeepers, and that is fine. I love it. I even shared, you know, your sitting there preaching. I shared it for my friends to see, and I saw that Minister Shea seen you on Facebook. I haven't gotten to that point to do Facebook Live because I'm still doing this assignment that God has given me. But I praise God for all my guests tonight. I have been blessed. If anybody knows opposition, I do. And when you walk with Jesus and you emanate Christ and you want to walk in his image and his likeness, opposition will just pop up from everywhere, job, home, supermarket, bank, house, everywhere, community, you know.
Yeah.
And so people don't even know why they don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know the God that I serve. Why would I set myself in opposition to another person? My unsaved life wasn't like that. And certainly I respect that you say you're saved, and I can see that you are. Why would I place myself in opposition against you? And you're my sister and my brother in Christ. Oh, God, I thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, we forgive those that have intentionally in the church placed themselves by talking, speaking against their all-out efforts to come against the will of God for another person's life, their future, the vision that God has given them, just speaking evil against them. Ha! We forgive you.
Glory. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
We forgive
you. Yes.
So, Bishop, thank you. Thank you, Minister Shea. Thank you, Prophetess Iris. Thank you, Bishop Wright. I love you guys. I'm going to close the broadcast out right now and just say what I always say. Only what you do for Christ will last. God bless you. Good night. Whatever time zone you're in, God bless you. God loves you.
Praise.
And has a special plan for your life. Thank you for joining us tonight. God bless.
Praise the Lord.